Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopijana Malabat Giri Badud Hahure. Gopijana Malabat Giri Badud Hahure. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjata Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Panachari Yamuna Te Ravana Chalti Jayarandhu Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Yidi Varuda De Gopi Jana Balaba Yidi Varuda Suranana Braja Jana Ranjana Suranana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Chari Yamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Kunya Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paramahacharya Also Tada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Charananda Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Hridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsay Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rabu Nichananda Shidway to get out hard. She was city go, Rabakta, Brindigajai, Shishi, Radhagusna, Gopakopana, Sayam Kun, Radhagunda, Giddi, Govardhan, Kijai, Vrindavanam, Kijai, Maturanam, Kijai. Jagannatha Swami, Kajai, Yamunamai, Kajai, Shimati Lassa Devi, Kajai, Sambhaveda Bhakta, Vrindigajai, Gaur, Premananda, Hari, 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 Gaur. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pachari Nivashesha Srinivadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So we're reading from the beginning of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam today. Chapter 1, and chapter 1 is entitled King Fudunya Becomes a Woman. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, I'm going to read the chapter summary first. This chapter describes how Fudunya became a woman and how the dynasty of Vaivasvatamana was amalgamated with the Somavamsa, the dynasty coming from the moon. By the desire of Maharaj Pariksit, Shukadeva Goswami told about the dynasty of Vaivasvatamana, who was formerly King Satyavrata, the ruler of Dravida. While describing this dynasty, he also described how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while lying down in the waters of devastation, gave birth to Lord Brahma from a lotus generated from his navel. From the mind of Lord Brahma, Marichi was generated, and his son was Kashyapa. From Kashyapa, through Aditi, Vivaswan was generated, and from Vivaswan came Shraddhadeva Manu, who was born from the womb of Sangya. Shraddhadeva's wife, Shraddha, gave birth to 10 sons, such as Ikshvaku and Riga. Shraddhadeva, or Vaivasvatamana, the father of Maharaj Ikshvaku, was sonless before Ikshvaku's birth. But by the grace of the great sage Vasishtha, he performed a yajna to satisfy Mitra and Varuna. Then, although Vaivasvatamana wanted a son, by the desire of his wife, he got a daughter named Ilaw. Manu, however, was not satisfied with the daughter. Consequently, for Manu's satisfaction, the great sage Vasishtha prayed for Ilaw to be transformed into a boy, and his prayer was fulfilled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Ilaw became a beautiful young man named Fudunya. Once upon a time, Fudunya went on a tour with his ministers. At the foot of the mountain Sumeru, there is a forest named Sukumara, and as soon as they entered that forest, they were all transformed into women. When Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami about the reason for this transformation, Shukadeva Goswami described how Fudunya, being transformed into a woman, accepted Buddha, the son of the moon, as her husband, and had a son named Pururava. By the grace of Lord Shiva, Fudunya received the benediction that he would live 1 month as a woman and 1 month as a man. Thus he regained his kingdom and had three sons named Utkala, Goya, and Vimala, who were all very religious. Thereafter, he entrusted his kingdom to Pururava and took the order of Vanaprastha life. So it's quite an interesting story, and we're not going to tell the whole story now, but just we want to give some indication that, you know, nowadays they're talking about gender fluidity. You've heard that word before? Gender fluidity. That means people change gender from one to another. And so this is happening here in the Bhagavatam. You know, this is very much in tune with the modern age, in one sense. And Prabhupada, when he was confronted with someone who kept changing their gender from one day to another, one day they were a boy, the next day they were a girl, Prabhupada said, just pick one and stick to it. So Prabhupada wasn't like criticizing anyone for their issues that they had, or he just wanted to make people Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada just didn't get in. so much. I mean, once in a while he probably made comments, but basically when dealing with people on an individual basis, he just wanted them to be Krishna conscious. Just, you know, he was very compassionate. He didn't start yelling at them, you know, why are you changing your gender? He just says, you know, just pick one, stick to it. You know, very matter-of-fact way. So, all right, so we'll go on to the first verse, and the first few verses don't have any purport, so we'll keep reading until we get to a verse with a purport.
Till text 8.
Till text 8, so we'll just, actually, I'll just read this time, because it's quite a few texts to read. Shri Rajavacha Manvantarani Sarvani Tyaktvoktani Shutani Me Viryanyananta Viryasya Harestatra Gutani Cha. King Parikshit said, my Lord Shukadeva Goswami, you have elaborately described all the periods of the various manus, and within those periods, the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potency. I am fortunate to have heard all this from you. Text 2 to 3. Yosau satya vato nama rajasir dravideshvaraha jnanam yoti tat kalpante lebe purusha sevya savai vivasvataha vasvata putro manur asiriti shrutam vattastasya sita prokta ikshvaku pramukhan vipaha. Satyavrata, the saintly king of Dravidadesh, who received spiritual knowledge at the end of the last millennium by the grace of the Supreme, later became Vaivasvata Manu, the son of Vivoswan. In the next Manvantara period of Manu, I have received this knowledge from you. I also understand that such kings as Ikshvaku were his sons, as you have already explained. Tesham Vamsham Pratag Brahman Vamsanu Charitani Cha Kirta Yasva Mahabhaga Nityam Shushusha Thang Vinaha. O greatly fortunate Shukadeva Goswami, O great Brahman, kindly describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of all those kings, for we are always eager to hear such topics from you. Ye bhuta ye bhavishyascha bhavanchyatya tanascha ye tesham na punya kirtinam sarvesham bada vikraman. Kindly tell us about the abilities of all those celebrated kings born in the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu, including those who have already passed, those who may appear in the future, and those who exist at present. Shri Shukravacha Ivam Parikshita Ragya Sadasi Brahmavadinam Prishta Pravacha Bhagavan Jukka Paramadharmavit. Sutta Goswami said, when Shukadeva Goswami, the greatest knower of religious principles, was thus requested by Maharaj Parikshit in the assembly of all the scholars learned in Vedic knowledge, he then proceeded to speak. So, Shri Shukravacha Shuyatam Manavo Vangsha Prachuryena Parandapa Nasakshate Vistarato Vaktum Varsha Shatarapi. Shukadeva Goswami continued, a king, subdue of your enemies, now hear from me in great detail how the dynasty of Manu, about the dynasty of Manu. I shall explain as much as possible, although one could not say everything about it, even in hundreds of years. Wow. Paravaresham bhutanam atmaya purushapadaha sahivasit idam vishwam kaupante nyan nakinchana. The transcendental supreme person, the supersoul of all living entities, who are in different statuses of life, high and low, existed at the end of the millennium when neither this manifested cosmos nor anything else but him existed. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Taking the proper position from which to describe the dynasty of Manu, Shukadeva Goswami begins by saying that when the entire world is inundated, only the Supreme Personality of God exists and nothing else. Shukadeva Goswami will now describe how the Lord creates other things one after another. Okay, so Om Gana Timidandasha Ganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So this last verse, which has a purport, is very similar to one of the Chatu Shloki verses. Which one is that? Does anyone know?
The first one.
What is it? I'll give you the first word. Aham. Yeah, the rest? Paschadaham. Yadei tachcha yo vishesheta sosh miaham. That's actually very important that devotees learn these Chaturshloki verses. Because these Chaturshloki verses are the verses from which the entire Bhagavatam is derived. And let me explain a little bit about Chaturshloki verses and then how the Bhagavatam is derived from the Chaturshloki verses. First of all, originally people were much more intelligent than they are today. So you could explain things in very short, what we call pithy statements. In other words, you could say something very short, like before the creation there was God, or let's go back to the Vedanta Sutra, which is actually written in these short statements, which are sometimes called codes. You understand? Mm-hmm. And like Atato Brahmagyasa. You know, now is the time to do what?
Acquire.
That's the absolute truth. So if you had people who are more intelligent, they would know what to do about it. It's like a stupid person, he just go on the internet and Google. Now is the time. Okay, Google, absolute truth. I'm not going to do it right now. But an intelligent person, he would go around questioning the sages. Like you find that Shunaka Rishi is a questioning Sutta Goswami, and you have Maharaj Parikshit, who is questioning Shukadeva Goswami, and you have, you know, different discussions in the Bhagavatam. Vidura, Maitreya, like that, isn't it? So, therefore, an intelligent person knows Tadviganartama Guru Abhigachet, that one must approach, so in Samitpani Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. So one must, Abhigachet is imperative in Sanskrit, so one must approach a guru, but how do you ascertain whether someone is a guru? Samitpani Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. Someone who's actually a servant of his guru, actually that's really what makes a guru, a bona fide guru, to be a servant of his guru. That's one of the qualities. Just like you see in the case of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was the best servant of his spiritual master because he took the words of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his life and soul, and risked his life and crossed the ocean, and that's why we're here today, right? Because of Prabhupada's attitude of service to his guru. You know, if we say, how do we know that Prabhupada is the best? Well, we know Prabhupada is the best because Prabhupada had the best attitude of service to his guru, ready to give up everything to satisfy his guru. So, Samitpane Shrochiam, one is heard nicely from his guru, you know, and there's stories about Prabhupada. They were in Vrindavan one time and they were going to go see, I forget which deity, with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was in a parikrama with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there was an announcement that all the devotees could go see a particular deity one night. And anyone who doesn't want to see the deity or wouldn't go on the parikrama would stay back with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada decided to stay back and to hear. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about Prabhupada, I have marked him, he likes to hear. So you see these qualities. Samitpani, Shrotriyam, and then Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam, of course, means always fixed. Nishta means always fixed, 24/7 in the Lord's service. So, I mean, you can apply those in relationship to Prabhupada. So therefore, we understand Prabhupada is an absolutely pure representative of his spiritual master and of the disciplic succession and a pure devotee of the Lord. Just by those qualities, he's a bona fide guru. So anyway, getting back to the Atato Brahmi Jijyasa, someone who is actually intelligent would understand those points in order to find a bona fide guru. But you'd have to be extremely intelligent. And then, you know, there's other verses in the Brahma, in the Vedanta Sutra, that jama jasa yataha, the absolute truth is that from which everything comes, which also the Bhagavatam begins with too. So how would people understand that? They're very short statements, right? Very, very short statements. And so it requires intelligent people. So getting back to the Bhagavatam and the Chatushloki verses, these are very short statements which could be understood, and one could expand them by his intelligence or her intelligence to understand the truth of the absolute truth. Because all the whole Siddhanta is presented in these Chatushloki verses, right? You know, what Maya is presented, Rite Ritam Napratiyeta, Napratiyeta Chatmani, Tatvidyad Atmano Mayam Yatabasha Yatatamaha. You know, what is Maya? Maya means to see something what is not related to Krishna. Anyone who sees anything not related to me knows that to be my deluding energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. And you know, actually that's very similar to 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Savram Jamai Pashati Tashaham Napranashami Sachame Napranashati. One who sees everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, and nor am I ever lost to him. So that's the Chatushloka. It just like summarizes the whole philosophy, but we require the whole Bhagavatam to expand from it. So this particular verse here is like that we just read today, is like one of the Chatushloka verses. Before the creation, and there's Krishna. And so that establishes another thing, Narayana Paro Vyaktat, right? Narayana is transcendental. Krishna is transcendental. And also Satchitananda Vigraha. All these things are connected to this particular understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, we understand that the Lord is not under the jurisdiction of the material energy. He's the creator of the material energy. In fact, at the time of creation, the material energy comes from him in the pradhana state. You understand? Unmanifest stage of the three modes of nature. He glances at the pradhana and impregnates the pradhana with the living entities that were previously in his body, and that impregnation is called Shambhu, right? Shiva. Lord Shiva. Mm-hmm. And Shiva consorts with this material energy, according to the Brahma Samhita, and then that's how we got placed here within this creation. So all these points you can derive from that one simple statement. And then also, at the time of the dissolution, then we all enter back into the body of the Supreme Personality of God. Unless we go back to Godhead, that's another thing. But that's highly unlikely we go back to Godhead. But so anyway, so this is all I have to say about this particular verse. So any questions or comments? Yeah, Lord Shiva impregnates the material energy with all of us. He's the father. That's why we have the linga and the yoni.
Sadashiva is like
Sadashiva, that's interesting. I asked that question of Gopi Pranadana. Is Vishnu Tattva expansion of Krishna from whom the Shiva in this world comes? Talking ontologically. I actually asked Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. He passed away. I asked him that. He said, you know, sometimes it's mentioned that Advaitacharya is Sadashiva. Sometimes it's mentioned he's Mahavishnu. So, you know, what do you do about it, you know? Because generally we understand Shiva is in a different category than Krishna, obviously, than Vishnu. He's not Vishnu Tattva. He's Shiva Tattva. He's like the yogurt compared to the milk, right? Vishnu is the milk and he's the yogurt. And you can't make milk from yogurt, but you can make yogurt from milk. So I asked Gopi Pranadana Prabhu that question. I said, you know, so how do you say that Dvaitacharya Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva, and he's in the spiritual world, and from that Sadashiva, because the word Shiva is actually a name of Vishnu. If you go through the Vishnu Sahasranam,
one name
of Vishnu is Shiva, because Shiva means auspicious, right? Mangala.
Yeah.
Shiva means auspicious. So it's not that Sadashiva is of the same category as the Lord Shiva in this world. And so the Lord Shiva in this world first comes to this world through the glance of the Mahavishnu. But he's an expansion. I mean, it gets a little bit complicated. He's an expansion of Sadashiva in the spiritual realm. And then Lord Shiva appears in this world in different ways, like in the Rudra incarnations. They come from the mind of Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma got angry at the four Kumaras for not getting married.
So different identity, like...
Well, no, it's the same Shiva, but just different expansions of Lord Shiva. Just like you have different Shakti Tattva expansions, you know, Radharani's the Adi Shakti, and then the Shaktis expand from Radharani. In the same way, Lord Shiva has different expansions too.
To 12 Rudras.
What? Durga.
12 Rudras.
What?
12
Rudras. Yeah, well, there's the Rudras who came from Lord Brahma, and they were threatening to destroy the whole universe. You know the story?
Yeah.
And then Lord Brahma, in order to pacify them, got them married to Rudranis.
Yeah.
That's a story in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a little complicated, but Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva, according to Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, and I was actually questioning him extensively about this, because it was a little confusing hearing Mahavishnu and Sadashiva are Dvaitacharya, so I clarified that with him. So, any other questions or comments?
I have got a question.
Yeah. No. No, no, no. He doesn't become material, just like the father doesn't become the son. You know, he implants the living entities. He's in touch with the mode of ignorance, but he's not controlled, because Lord Shiva is a pure devotee. He can never become in Maya like we're in Maya. He's a pure devotee. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. But he's our father. He's the father, in a very real sense, of all of us, you know, these bodies in the material world. He's the Prajapati, isn't it? The glance in the Mahavishnu, and that glance manifests as Shambhu. And Shambhu, I mean, it's complicated. I mean, you read about it in the Bhagavatam, but it's actually far more complicated than you can imagine. You know, it's very, very complicated. Just like, if we look at the material energy, how complicated it is, just like our bodies or the cells within the bodies, they're infinitely complicated. So what to speak of the whole process of creation? I mean, we hear the general description, which is true, you know, it's absolute, but, you know, every action that Lord Shiva takes, we don't read about every action that Lord Shiva takes, no. It's complicated. It's just like we say, Vishwakarma builds a city, right? Okay. How did he do it? It's complicated. He has a big brain.
Yeah, he
has. Like Lord Brahma, he has four brains because it's complicated.
Yeah.
He has to manage the whole universe. And some Brahmas have hundreds or thousands or whatever, even more brains than that. Because things get really complicated. And so, as I mentioned the other day, some people may say that they understand God, but to really, truly understand God in every detail is not possible for the conditioned soul. And it's not even possible. Even, as I was mentioned, Anand wants to glorify Krishna, he can't come to the end of the glorification of Krishna.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday. Because Jai Shishi Radharada Kanta Radharada Kanta Ki Jai. Okay.
So when Krishna says that Aham Bijapadaprika.
Yes.
And the same act is being performed by Shiva. So what is the connection?
What is the connection? Krishna, Vishnu is looking at the material creation. He's implanting the living entities. Saikshata. Saikshata. It's his glance. So his glance is personified. Our glance is not personified. Like if I look at Amrita Karan, it's not a person. My looking at him is not a person. I mean, even with great souls like Lord Brahma, when he gets angry, it becomes persons, right? Or when he meditates, like, you know, how Narada Muni appeared. Lord Brahma doesn't need a wife to have children. Even his anger produces children. So he's the father. Lord Brahma is the father of the Kumaras, the four Kumaras, but he's the father in a very unusual way. His anger. And the same way Vishnu is our father, created our bodies and put us, before the creation, we were in Mahavishnu's body.
Yes.
That's at the time when everything was dissolved. When Mahavishnu breathes in, he's in his yoga nidra. We all come, we're sucked into his body, all the universes are sucked into body, and we remain in a state of suspended animation called an anashan state, a sleeping state. And then when he breathes out, then the universes come out, the pradana, and he glances at the pradana, and he enters in. Not only does he glance and put us in there, he enters into all the universes as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and finally the Shiradakshay Vishnu. The super soul, but all in every atom too. And also Shiradakshay Vishnu has his Shveta Dvipa in the universe. You know, White Island in the Ocean of Milk. You know about that, right? So, it's very complicated. And generally, all the incarnations in this world, except for Krishna, they come from the Shiradakshay Vishnu. But Krishna doesn't. Krishna's not an expansion, you know, for the Mahavishnu or Shiradakshay Vishnu. It's a little bit different. It's complicated. But Krishna is the seed-giving father, Aham Bija Pradapita. Because in one sense, and in several different ways, Mama Vansa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we're part and parcel of Krishna, the soul. In one sense, but we were never created. You know, we're eternal too. Ajo nitya sashato yam purana nahanyate hanyat mane sarira. We were never created at any point. So we're co-eternal with Krishna. But in a real sense, since we're part and parcel of Krishna, then he's the father in that way of our souls. From one point of view. And then from the point of view of putting us within the material creation, when he glances saikshata, then he's the father. He impregnates, just like Angani Yasha Shakalendriya Dri Timanti. You understand? Krishna can do with anything with any part of his body, because his body is Sachinanda Vigraha. So he's not limited like us. He can eat with his eyes, you know, eat with his hands. So his impregnation as the father is through his eyes. And the eyes, or the glance, is called Shambhu.
So that empowers Shambhu.
And then Shambhu expands. Shambhu's an expansion of Krishna, not Vishnu Tattva, meant to deal with the material energy.
Yes.
It's a little complicated. Yeah.
Brahma is coming from
what?
Brahma
comes from the navel. Oh yeah, Brahma comes from the navel. No Lakshmi required.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brahma Sanhita describes that
Yeah.
There's a transformation, curbs and yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt and milk.
Yeah, or yogurt.
Yeah.
There's nothing to milk,
there's
a transformation.
Yeah, transformation, but you can't go back the other way. Yeah. You can't take curds or yogurt and make it milk.
Yeah.
Now he's Vishnu, but he's not Vishnu Tattva, it's a special category. Shiva Tattva.
You see what Sivok Luko is
there,
different planet.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little complicated. Anyway, I'm Jiva Tattva. I'm Jiva Tattva. I'm not a transformation of anything. The only thing that's... Shakti Parinam. The only thing that gets transformed is the Shakti. Brahma never get... There's no such thing as Brahma Parinam. Brahma doesn't get transformed. That's the Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad philosophy is Brahma Parinam, and Vaishnava philosophy is Shakti Parinam. And also, all right, so you have another question? Yeah.
So Krishna is never without his parts and parcels.
That's right.
But there's also in the scriptures where it's saying that, like, he became many for the purpose of enjoyment.
Bahusham.
He seems to infer a beginning, as if we weren't before.
Yeah.
Little.
He becomes many. Well, he expands himself, yeah.
So Bhusa.
Yeah. What?
So
there's a point where he expands himself before
you. Well, I think that's for our understanding.
Okay.
Basically, sometimes when the material creation is non existing, many of the avatars aren't manifest. Because some of the avatars, as Prabhupada mentions, the non-human avatars are not manifested in the spiritual realm. That was Prabhupada's statement. I've heard some devotees disagree with that, but Prabhupada said that, so I accept that. So, and his expansion, certainly his expansion of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu are not manifest during the time of the dissolution. They become manifest when there's the creation.
Yes.
Yeah. So in that sense, it becomes many. And sometimes when you have this thing that, like, the Lord becomes many, it may be explained in as a time sequence, but Krishna is beyond time. You know, it's hard for us to understand what eternity is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Krishna is beyond time. I mean, the soul was never created. I mean, that's one of the... Of course, there's some people, not in ISKCON, of course, who have this philosophy that the soul was created at a particular time. And they say that the soul was created by... came from the Tathashta Shakti, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur... Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the Tathashta Shakti as simply the line of demarcation between the shore and the water. He doesn't describe, you know, it's like an imaginary place. It's not actually a place, it's just the line of demarcation. You know what I'm saying? So you can't, because you're either in the water. Yeah, you can choose. So that's why we're called the Tathashta Shakti. But there's no indication that there's such a like big location where you can hang out like the Tathashta Shakti. It's the line of demarcation.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I mean, it's a theoretical line. Here, this is a thicker line between the two tiles, but. But it's not a place. It's just like you're either one place or the other.
Yeah.
That Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it as the line that indicates between the shore and the ocean. You know, just like if you've ever gone to the ocean and seen there's a line there, you know. But the line doesn't have any breadth, and it's not wide. It's just the place where the shore becomes the ocean, or the ocean becomes the shore.
Yeah.
the very infinitesimal jiva, it's a dense waves of the ocean.
What's that?
Very infinitesimal jiva.
Yeah.
He can be by the power of Maya, he can be covered. He can be so waves are coming. So he has to be like with Krishna.
But Vishnu cannot be covered.
Vishnu.
See, the Mayavadis, they another part of the Mayavad philosophy is Vivarta Vag, where they say that that Vishnu or Brahman can be covered. That's an interesting point that the Mayavadis make, because if they say that Brahman can be covered, then the covering is more powerful than Brahman. So Brahman is not Brahman, because the definition of Brahman means the greatest.
Yeah.
The word Brahman means the greatest. So if the greatest can be covered by something else, that something else that covers the greatest is actually the greatest.
Yeah.
Shankar, that's the one point you can get the Mayavadis on.
Yeah.
Or the impersonalists on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very interesting.
Okay. Time to end class. Big turnout here. Everybody gets up for Bhagavatam class, Mangalarti. What?
This is a big crowd.
Really? I'm shocked.
There's only information that Maharaj is coming tonight.
I am coming tonight.
You are coming?
We're having a program tonight.